Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
This show's like a drink of cool water on a long walk across the desert, Sherry. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Such a short time feels so very long.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Join Sangha on Sunday, January 21st for the kickoff to our 2024 practice year. Together, we will explore where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. The Buddha's journey to see into the heart of true nature began with encounters of an old person, a sick person, and a corpse. In a new email class with Sherry, we follow in the Buddha's footsteps as we embark on an in-depth exploration of aging, sickness, pain, and death. The class begins February 4th.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was working on the blog today. And it's scheduled to come out tomorrow. I don't know that it will. And essentially wrote that. The blog, so it's fun to hear it. Great.
I'm looking forward to it.
All the minds who are closing in on this apparently are coming from and going to the same direction. So that's very good.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make our show. And conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, I think we are ready here.
All right.
First caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. It's Renee in Oregon.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi there. Welcome back. Thank you.
Yes, welcome back to all of us, huh?
Right. I know I've been, like Michael said, like, man, I'm missing those radio shows.
Yeah, and when I was working on it, writing, you know, earlier today, I thought, okay, now we did this, and I mean, the kickoff is just right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then right around the corner from that is the email class. So,
mm-hmm.
So we're ramping up here.
We don't have to
wait
too
long. Been do-
right?
Yeah. What have you been doing during our little hiatus?
Well, I've been practicing. So
Good.
Yeah, the Renews Retreat was very helpful, and I felt great, and you know, after a week of being sort of high on that, and then it started to come back down a little. But I've just been noticing a lot of fear about my job, and what I got to was fear of having to rely on other people.
Ah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so it was just good information.
Yes, it was. It was. Because do we ever actually rely on other people?
Hmm. Well,
It can seem like that. Yeah. Oh, very important, Renee. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Most of us, we believe we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We believe that we are looking to other people for our well-being, if that's not too broad a category there. But when we start to break it down, first of all, of course, we're projecting whatever it is onto them.
Mm-hmm.
We're projecting our beliefs and assumptions onto them. And ultimately, the only person we're ever going to turn to is ourselves.
Right.
No matter what goes on with anybody else. And the thing that you started out with is to me the crux of the whole thing, which is the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And how that plays in. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it feels like, well, I've had experiences this year where, or year and a half, I should say, it's been a pretty hard year, and I've reached out to people, consciously or unconsciously, I'm not sure. I mean, I think I've reached out to practice more, but also with friends and family, and as I've shared with them what I'm going through, it felt like they were also providing love and care.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think in the past I've been able to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think, well, I mean, probably in my history I have at some point, I don't remember, but...
It's hard to know.
It's hard to know, but it feels like not only am I learning to love myself, but I'm letting other people provide love to me, or care, or whatever that word would be, but I feel like it's love.
Uh-huh.
And I think before I was sort of distant from them, or it's me against the world, or, you know, that sort of feeling. And
mm-hmm. And
I don't think I feel that way anymore, but there's still this fear, not only relying on them for emotional support, or, and maybe that's not what that was, it was a different thing, but even on financial support or any other type of support.
Well, I wonder... kind of what I was looking at as you got started is if what was actually more what was going on before is that you were relying on ego,
mm-hmm.
thinking it was you,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the separation, mm-hmm. and the distance and the
right
me against the world and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I project that you actually are present, and therefore there are these other players in your life now, like you and the people in your circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yeah,
so
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the fear, of course, as we always suspect, is going to be ego being edged out of its position of power and influence. As the one that you would look to for clarity and direction and that sort of thing.
Right. God, that makes so much sense. Like, it just resonates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I would follow life's guidance. Like, there's this conversation I'm having in my head, and then I would have a moment and listen to life. Well, ask this person what they think. And then I would just do it. I wouldn't, like, noodle over it.
Uh-huh.
And I would call and ask them. And generally it was, like, good information.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
You know, and it was, I just was.
Yes.
So I think you're right. I was more in touch with life and following that path, which put me in touch with love and care.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That makes a lot of
sense. And the still small voice. We could identify that as the still small voice, right? Why don't you give so-and-so a call? And the response, oh, okay. Pick up the phone and call. Not, you know, I don't want to bother them, or what are they going to know about it? Or, yeah, they've got problems.
Yeah, the whole
whatever
argument.
It is.
Oh, there's always
right.
come up. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what it is that following life and the still small voice and that gets you in touch with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which to me, I don't know how you are with it at this point. It sounds like you're going to be in agreement with me. When we look at this life, this year, then it rather than it being a hard year,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a growthful year or a transformative
heart,
year.
Heart opening.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But without that, without those changes, it would have just been hard.
Mm-hmm.
Hard going through it,
right.
Hard looking back on it, hard conclusions drawn from it. There isn't anybody. You can't trust anybody. People are going to let you down. They don't come through for you. All those conversations that ego so wants us to be in.
Well, yeah, I'm just being in that small world of there's no other options. This mm-hmm. is all I get to do in this little ego mm-hmm. world of nothing available to me, you know?
Yes, yes.
Except that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so, I've been looking at that a lot lately. I guess I've just had a lot of those conversations lately. But that being in that ego-identified place of fear and not knowing it, mm-hmm. okay? Because that's the really important piece of that, not knowing it. Because
right.
if we know it, first of all, we're not in it, and we're not having the experience. But being in that experience and not realizing that there's anything outside that.
Right.
So something comes up, I look inside my head, the information that's there is there. I assume that that's true, that that's real
right.
and valid
mm-hmm.
and all of those things. It doesn't occur to me that maybe it's a very limited, very possibly false or erroneous perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I just go on about my life. And so there's only, you know, two things available, two bad choices usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only two bad choices available to me. And the kajillions of other things that are available,
mm-hmm.
not available to me.
Right. You just don't see them.
Don't see them. It's so sad. You know, it's really sad. Because you can just watch lives being ruined for absolutely no reason except a person has an idea about how things are and how they should be. And they're just mm-hmm. not going to be open to considering something else.
Right. Well, yeah. And when you're alone with it, like you said a lot of times, then you really don't know there's any other options. And then if it's suggested
right.
to you, you still don't know.
That's
unless
right.
you've been doing something like this, where you kind of are questioning now what you're being told inside your head. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And layer the fear on that, the fear of ego. You know, you're going to get it wrong. You're going to make a mistake. Something's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be bad. You better not. And failure to see that, but I'm already in a terrible place.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How much worse could it be, for God's sake?
It's already happening to you.
It's already happening.
When I'm in the fear, the worst thing's already happened.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's not going to be worse than this because I'm in a loop of fear and self-hatred.
Right.
So
right.
I might as well, I don't know, go be a bartender in Tahiti. Why
yeah.
not? If that sounds like a better time than I'm having here, it's
right.
not going to be any worse. But that's, again, that's a fiendish part of it because we're told, yes, it will be worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And really, mm-hmm. we don't know. Like, that's been something I've been practicing with, too, is good, bad, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
Say
the
it
worst
again.
Year. This year's the worst year, but
right.
actually,
well, we hope so,
it's been good.
Renee.
Well,
we
mean,
hope this is
I mean
as
the
bad
worst
as
year
it
in
is.
Terms of, yeah, I'll take that back. It's been a very difficult, challenging year. I don't want to say that.
Right. Well, but if it's the worst year of your life, that's mm-hmm. okay. Because they're all,
right.
from now on,
right.
they're all going to be much better.
Right, right. What were you going to say today?
Oh.
In group
I don't
or
know.
At the...
I
place,
don't know.
So. Okay, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm glad we're in a new year. I'm glad we can look at the one that's passed and realize all of the benefits that we've derived from it.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Gives us courage.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Renee.
Talk soon. Take care.
Okay. Got show.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And Sherry, we are going to move to Good News Update. And then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
Hello.
And
this
Jen, I'm turning it over to you for Good News Update.
Sorry. Okay, great. Thanks, Michael. And welcome, Bev, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the New Year's retreat. Thanks for being with us, Bev.
It's my pleasure.
So yet another fabulous virtual New Year's retreat, which we started that tradition when the pandemic began and have held on to it, well, partly because the pandemic continues, but also because it's such a fabulous way to gather with unlimited numbers of Sangha from all the way around the globe. And so thank you for being with us to talk about your experience of this year's retreat.
Okay, well, this was the first time that I have participated in the New Year's retreat at all. So as I look back, you know, as I was reflecting and preparing for tonight, I realized from where I am today that the only reason that I did not participate before now was because I did not question the voices in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, I was told things like, well, when it was in person, you know, oh, that's just too far to travel. It costs too much.
Right.
You know, it's the holidays.
Right.
And I never questioned that. And then, of course, when the pandemic came along and that those were not the issues, it morphed into, well, you know, I don't know. I don't even know when I think back. What my,
something.
You know.
There's some reason
but
you
this
can't
year,
do it. We're not really sure what it is. But
yeah. But, you know, I kind of think, and I've often heard Sherry say, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. You know, it'll happen. And so for whatever reason, this year I was ready. And as I prepared for it, you know, I still heard the conversation. And I do live with someone. So, you know, that was a consideration. How am I going to have the privileged environment? And I'm hearing all the voices. And it was just like, because of my practice, and I am trying not, you know, to question these voices, you know, I went and spoke to my husband and told him what I was planning on doing, and he was just like, well, cool, you know, that's fine. And nothing that I had been told in my head came to pass. It just worked out just beautifully. So that was a big lesson for me because in addition to, say, this thing, you know, I try to participate in as much as I can. And, you know, someone might ask me to do something and there's an open air or, you know, I've got a reflective listening buddy call or the radio show. Mm-hmm. And when I tell them, well, I can't do it right then, but it's usually never a problem. It's just those voices in my head telling me it's a problem.
Amen, Bev. And you really pointed at the two key parts. One is to be able to recognize that that conversation is happening. And so it sounds like as your practice has deepened over the years, you now realize this year you actually saw that that conversation was happening. And then the second piece, which is you questioned it. And when you actually looked at it, you saw, oh, well, in fact, I can participate. And so you got to actually have the experience.
Yes. And then the thing that I most took from this weekend or the weekend was all the practice I have done with the Sangha over the years, especially reflective listening buddies. The story has been, because this is so important to me, I'm told there's so much at stake. You know, when you participate with the Sangha, you have to have it together. You know, you need to, you know, you don't want to disappoint anybody or just that I have to do it a certain way. Well, what I'm learning, the more I relax into the practice, is this is the safest place in the world for me to be vulnerable, for me to be, you know, I can be uncomfortable without any consequences. I can say whatever is on my heart, and nobody, there's no pushback. It's just received with kindness. Now, there may be guidance, but it is such a safe place to practice facing my fears.
That's so well put. And so really taking advantage of the retreat environment to do just that, to realize, it sounds like the way you describe it, the voices would say, okay, well, Sangha is so important that in order to do that, then you have to, but what you realize is no, this is the most safe place that you can bring anything that's going on with you and be completely vulnerable and know that that's all right and that it will be held in that unconditional love, acceptance, and that you may receive guidance, but that's just a manifestation of that love, of that compassion for our practice.
And so what this has given me a bridge to is that now I need to take this, it's given me the courage to take myself, to really be truly myself with the people around me, especially mm-hmm. the people that I'm committed to, that I love and that love me. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the same story. It's like, I can't tell them that. It would just break their heart. Or I can't mm-hmm. ask from this because, again, it's like conditioning tells me there's too much at stake. And if I cross that mm-hmm. line, they might leave or we might not, you know, the relationship mm-hmm. may be broken. But I'm mm-hmm. starting to see that all these people were put into my life to mm-hmm. challenge me, to help me see, to mm-hmm. help me grow, and that there's nobody else in the world that would, if I can communicate to them properly, that will stick mm-hmm. with me, that will give me chance after chance if I can come and say, you know, I'm working on this. Will you help me with it? Or just that I can, if I hadn't been practicing this with the Sangha, and again, mm-hmm. especially my reflected listening buddy, I mm-hmm. would not have the courage or the to know that that's a possibility, that I can be totally true and honest with the people I love, and they will go that extra mile with me if I can communicate to them, you know, communicate in love. And that has been so opening, just to be able to tell people I dearly love, that's not working for me, or what do you think about this? And in the past, I would have felt like there's too much to lose.
And, you know, Bev, it's so beautiful what you're saying, because that was really a big theme of the retreat, wasn't it? Is looking at those blessings that we have in our life and all the conversations, the places that ego gets us and keeps us small, recognizing those and deciding, you know, being willing to let those go as we go forward in our practice in a new year. And that's exactly the process you're describing. Very much like the first conversation Sherry just had today on this show, right? Where suddenly you're actually in relationship with actual people, yourself and the people in your life, instead of just with the voice in your head.
And I don't have to be afraid of people who love me. And I've been told that I have to be a certain way. And the most thing, me, you know, I don't have to be afraid to be honest with myself anymore. I can say and do things with myself, and it's okay. And that has not been available to me until all this practicing I've been doing with the Sangha in the privileged environment. It's just it's just changed my life.
Yeah. Well, and you described it even so, that piece, the privileged environment that you just mentioned, that you realized as you went into the retreat that you really wanted that for yourself and used that very process to set it up, right? Going to the person that lives in the household with you and communicate. That's all it is. Just communicate.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I've got. Here's what I want to set up. And of course, when you come to people in presence in that way, as you say, very often they'll respond and assist you with what you're asking for.
Yes, and sometimes in the corresponding, it doesn't go well, but that's still to show me. I don't have to take it personally. It is there to help me to take that next step and to be even braver and to know that there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's mastery right there, right? When it, quote, doesn't go well, right, which is by a conditioned standard, then we just realize, we see, okay, so I'm in a story about how this should go and how, you know, all of those things. There's my opportunity to deepen that fearlessness, to let go of the fear even more and to stay on this track of being present to everything as it is, exactly as it is.
Yes, and just this weekend just brought all that home, and, you know, it just...
Mm-hmm.
keeps getting deeper and deeper. And with every step I take to become more aware, I just feel so much more alive.
Amen.
That's the only way I know how to explain it. It's like I just feel like I'm here living my life like I should.
Yeah, you actually get to live your life. You actually get to live your life. Yeah. And just that one piece, Bev, to underline, as you say, that coming together on retreat for a period of days really does deepen that, doesn't it? I heard someone else say, gosh, I just wish we could do that, you know, every month, you know, just because something about coming together for a concentrated period of time really allows it to deepen in that way. Yeah.
And I used to feel like the few times I've been on retreat, and it's such a magical experience, and then you think, oh, you know, now I've got to go back to the world. And my whole perspective on that has changed. It's like now I get to go back and practice doing this.
That's right. Exactly.
I feel like the whole practice is set up for that, to help us be aware so that we can take it back. Like going to a retreat is not something I escape to. It's something
that
I learn and get stronger so I can go back and practice this with the people I love.
Exactly.
And first of all, me, you know.
Yes, exactly. I'm in that category for people I love.
For the opportunity and just and that I didn't listen to the voices this year, and I just went ahead and followed my heart.
Well, there we go. There's a focus for 2024. Don't listen to the voices and follow the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, thanks for being with us today to talk about it.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me. Gosho.
Gosho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Beth. And welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I loved every word of that conversation.
Me too. Me too.
And I didn't hear any self-hate about, you know, I haven't done a New Year's retreat, or it was just like, oh, okay. Now the time to do the New Year's retreat. And I just love that, because we've given up feeling bad. So 11 years ago, I think, right? It's 2013.
Yeah, 2013.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I, as you know, I'm a big fan of I don't know. I think it's just the most intelligent perspective any human being can have, so I aspire to it always. But there are a couple of things that I do know. I'm pretty sure about this, okay? We have the best practice in the world, and we have the best sangha in the world.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. There could be better practices and better sanghas somewhere, maybe. I guess. I don't know. I'm certainly not going to go look for them. But the one we have is those two aspects are just extraordinary. The work that people do, the transformation that happens, one of the things I love so much about what Bev was saying is, okay, I mean, it's wonderful. Bev comes and she practices, she goes on retreat, and she, you know, all of that sort of thing. But it's so clear that it's what she's doing is for herself, first and foremost. Yes, absolutely, nothing selfish about that. The most unselfish thing in the world, because her ambition is to be that transformation with and for everybody that she meets.
Yeah.
So we let go of the self-hatred. We choose unconditional love. We learn how to be present. And that's how we're going to be with the world. It's a good direction.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's an understatement. Yes.
Yeah. And the point that Jen made, just to underline it, you know, that in this process that we're all engaged in, we get to have our life. Right? We get to have our life. And you know, I mean, probably most people that you talk to, most sort of tuned in people would say, well, I have my life. I'm living my life. No, not actually. It seems like it until we actually begin to get into life and live life. And then we realize what we were doing before was definitely not living life. We definitely did not have our life. And so to have it, it's one of my heroes talks about basically in a different way of describing it, but getting in touch with what we're talking about right now has an intensity and a passion and a power that is absolutely indescribable. So when you look at it, it seems like, really? These people seem to actually be going in kind of a boring direction. I mean, what are they doing? They're meditating, they're paying attention, but they're not doing anything. And yet, the not doing that we're doing is the greatest doing that a human being can do. And what we have as a result of that is the vitality and exuberance and enthusiasm that is life. So right now, I don't know what it's like where you are, Michael, obviously, because we're a few thousand miles apart, but we're having big weather, and big trees practically sideways in the wind, right, and rain, and it's wow. Just carrying on at a great rate. And that's it, you know, the passion of life, of nature, just this all-out wild energy of being, right? And that's what's available to us when we're here. But when we're in a conversation in the head, we're careful and cautious and worried and nervous and anxious and, yeah.
And boring.
And boring. Thank you, Michael. And boring. Yes, absolutely so. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bev and Jen mentioned it. To me, it's the privileged environment that makes that possible, that provides the safest yeah. space in the world where I can be as vulnerable as I am. And yeah. It's all fine. It's all accepted. It's all received. Everybody kind of like nods their head. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, and that's what puts us in touch with what it actually is to be a human. Right?
Yes.
That's it. If you can be all of you, well, then you're going to be fully alive. But if you have to be constantly watching and damping it down and making sure then and being careful and not to step on any toes and not to upset anybody and not to do anything wrong, I mean, that's where the life force goes, right? So it's not,
yes.
I mean, we don't have to become obnoxious, reckless crazies, although, you know, that's always available. Clearly, it is a choice in this world because we see lots of evidence of it. But just to relax into, yeah, I don't have to be watched constantly. Conditioning has to be watched constantly, but I don't. There's a big difference between me, the authentic human incarnation, and what happened to me in the form of socialization. So I need to keep a sharp eye on that all the time. But who I am authentically as a human being, no, that's not dangerous. That's goodness and kindness. Why we love little tiny children and puppies and kittens, because that's what we see in them. And that's what we are when we get past all of this ego protection.
Yes, yes, yes. And as you've said, the more I'm authentically myself, the more it gives, you know, permission unconsciously
mm-hmm.
for other people to do that as well.
That's right. And you're there, right? When you can relax and just be you, who you are, then when you're with people, you just relaxed and there and who you are, and it's fine with you that they are.
Yes.
But if you're tense and tight and nervous and watching, then nobody's gonna relax around you, right? Because
right.
they know it. This is a danger zone, right? And you're right. 90% of it happens intuitively, but it's happening.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
indeed.
Yeah.
And we have more callers here. So exciting.
All right. Well, let's talk to them.
All right. Here we go.
Thank you, Michael. All right.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Karen from North Carolina.
Well, hello, Karen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so grateful to be here, which I haven't been participating much this year. And it got to the point where I've suffered enough over that. And so I sat down and made some recordings and made some commitments. And one of them is to be on the Tuesday night calls in the queue.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And that's all the looking back that's required, isn't it? Okay, well, yeah, I didn't participate as much as I would wish last year. Okay, well, now it's now.
Yes.
And now I can.
Yeah. And I tell you what, it has been no fun.
No.
You know, I've made myself sick and unhappy and...
Well, no, Karen, no, actually,
okay.
Au contraire, you
okay.
haven't. You
oh,
haven't.
Right. No, thank
that's
you for
right.
that question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ego has. That illusion of being separate from life.
Well, that's
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Buying into that illusion by separating myself from practice is what's been awful and no fun and you know, never to always, you know, there wasn't very often that I wasn't aware of it. You know, that's
on some level.
Yes, on
some level,
level,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
There,
Karen.
Mm-hmm.
That's just so important.
Yeah.
We are allowed to be aware of it. Not mm-hmm. to do anything about it, but aware of it enough that we feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can,
it's
we
so
can
evil.
Feel it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and that's probably a saving grace.
Yes. Yes. For people who have a practice, yes, because what happens is what happened to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to the point of realizing, good grief, wait a minute, I know a better way. I know that there's an alternative to this.
Uh-huh.
And right, and there's enough oomph there to grab the reins and get back on track.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and I don't know, but it's probably I've been in survival mode and what I've went to well, that's conditioning. Being in survival mode is only conditioning.
That's right.
So.
That is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. what's surviving is all of these ideas and stories in the head, right,
mm-hmm.
about, I bet there was part of it that had the tone of, well, you just need to this now. And then once that's done, once that's over, there'll be another time and another place, and then your life will work, and then you'll be able to whatever. Was there an element of that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There almost always is. It's just for now,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not going to last forever, but you just need to, you know, gut it out, Karen. You need to get through this. And then things will be better. And no, they won't.
Well, and for me, you can relate to this, it's been a lot of numbing.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, the way of coping is to numb out. And
mm-hmm.
I've seen
survive.
So much. And survive, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I never lost the gratitude, though. I mean, so many elements of practice, it's like... all of it never went away.
That's right.
But,
isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good? Because
mm-hmm.
Ego would want you to believe that now you're somehow behind or
oh.
you've lost something or whatever. But no, it's like, I don't know kind of what to compare it to, but you're just right here and you have everything you always had. And it's just, okay, here we go. Yeah,
right.
we're going along down the path.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like straying, not still on the path, and that adage of it doesn't matter how slow you go, just don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and I think that's it. Again, ego would like us to believe that
somehow we're off the path. But we're never off. Nobody is ever off the path. Even people who, you know, it's hard to imagine they're on the path. Or times when it's hard for us to imagine that we are on the path. But everybody's on the path, right? But as you say, we can get kind of sidelined over there, awfully close to the gutter, and get slowed down to the point that it seems like we're not going anywhere, but we are. Mm-hmm. And part of it, I think it's really important when we go through a time like that to realize, and I have a lot more clarity about how I want my life to be and how I don't want my life to be.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's really important.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, here
well,
I am.
Well, good. Here we am.
Here we
and,
are.
And it's good to hear your voice, glad you're with us.
Oh, me too. Words are gone. You know, my heart full of love and participation.
Good, good.
All
right, then we'll be seeing more of you. So
oh, you bet.
That's something to look forward to. All right, good.
You bet.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Go happy. Good night.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Who is this?
Hi, Sherry. This is Robert.
Hey, Robert. Oh, Robert.
How are you?
We spoke
yes,
recently.
We spoke.
Yeah, I recognize your voice. Yeah.
How are you?
Great. What are you seeing?
So this year is starting to come with a lot of changes for
uh-huh.
me if I want them.
Mm. well stated. Yes. All right.
I am now in a beautiful place. It's like 130 acres, and I could move here and live in a house that's here. I was very excited. Everything seemed to be opening up. And the past couple of hours, I'm just been hit with I guess the theme from the first caller, fear. And now all the voices and everything is kind of...
What's just, the fear, Robert?
I guess what happened, or what, where it started, my dog is my companion, and she's always with me. And, I wasn't sure it was going to be a problem for her to be here, and it's not. I think they may have a problem with her being inside the house. And I'm just my dog has always slept next to my bed, and that's where she will continue.
Well, now, Robert, it sounds like you have a fear that they might, but it sounds like you haven't checked it out.
We did. I guess it was the response. They said it was fine, but if I could maybe in the future get her used to not sleeping in the house and sleeping in the garage, and I just said no, she's not going to. They said that's fine. It was just,
so good.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Okay.
Uh-huh.
She's with you.
Yeah.
What else are they saying? So the voices kicking up?
Well, now their voices are kind of just saying, well, that's what they're saying now, but later on.
Yeah. Okay. And boy, that is perfect. That is perfect. So it presents it as a problem. You check it out. You find out. You get to the place. It's not a problem. Well, but Yeah. We can just recognize well, but for what it is and say, yeah, okay, we're not doing that. Oh. We're not talking about that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that's where you were going to go, and I still wanted to hear it.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yeah. Yeah. Because, oftentimes the ego voices have actual stuff to try to get us with, right? Mm-hmm. But this is tricky for ego because you really want to do this.
Yeah.
Right? You're really happy about this. And it's all working out. And there's no reason for you not to do it. So what are the voices going to do? Well, then they've got to take you into the past and try to make you feel bad about something from the past, or take you into the future and try to scare you about something in the future. They got nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all day today, I was just thinking, walking the property and thinking, everything has opened up for me to be here so fast and just open doors. And I was like, I remember what you've said before, that if it's not for me, it's not going to happen if it's not for me.
That's right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
And so it just felt right. But then, this past two hours.
And the thing that, to me, when you say that, what it occurs to me is, it doesn't mean that then everything is going to be wonderful forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just means this is the now step for you.
Right.
Yeah. So you get there, and who knows what's going to happen? Nobody. Life will go on, and there will be things for you to see and learn and grow and all of that. And there may be hard times and things that you'll struggle with and feel that there's going to be pain with. We don't know. That tends to be how life goes. But those are not mistakes, right? That doesn't mean you shouldn't be there. It just means that's the place for you. That's the classroom, right? That's the classroom that you're in right now.
Uh-huh. And I do feel like in this place, I mean, not to say that I need to change places, but I feel like it's a perfect place. I just kind of started with this practice, mm-hmm. and listening to you and open air. It's been amazing. And I feel like here, practice is going to be, a huge companion as well, because I'll be here by myself, and with the dog.
By yourself with us and the dog.
And exactly, yes.
You have good company.
And I love that. That just it fills me up just to think about it. And then this past 2 hours, it was just that fear that came in, and it was like, well, this could be a problem later. And
of course, anything could be a problem later. We're all going to have problems later. but they're not now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good to see that and to get clear about it, because when the ego voices hit us, we are trained to react, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes at us with a bunch of fear, we're trained to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And so to learn to just stand right there and say, yep, okay, those are the voices of fear. Yep, they certainly are.
I kind of froze and then looked at the time, and I was like, it's time to call Sherry.
time for open air. Here we go.
I was thinking about listening, because I've never heard a show on air. I've only listened to. Yeah.
Oh, you're an archive.
I tried last weekend for the first time and then realized it wasn't happening. And so this is my first time and first time calling, obviously. And even that was a lot of fear, so I understand what people talk about when they're waiting on the queue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The heart is pounding and the get the sweaty palms. And
uh-huh.
Yeah. And if we, if we learn to approach that as, wow, I'm really here. I'm really alive. I am really alive.
Mm-hmm. I've also realized I've been I guess, very against sitting. And recently kind of hit me that there's so much in me that doesn't want it, that there's that it has to be good.
Yeah. And that there is obviously part of you that is open to it, because, you know, we are sitting practitioners. That's why, you know, that's what our awareness practice is based in. And so, even though the parts of you who don't want to are loud, it doesn't mean there isn't a part of you that's very drawn.
Yes. I mean, it's been drawn for a long time.
I've been
reading and drawn to this for a very, very long time. And then recently during the New Year's retreat, I'd never done anything like that. And sitting was extremely hard. I hadn't watched your video, so I watched it after, and that will change definitely my problem, but like sitting down.
I have some ideas for you, sir. I have some ideas. Okay.
Okay.
So what is your little pal's name, your little gal pal there? What's her name?
Nina.
Nina. It's your little girl, huh? So
70 pounds.
Nina.
75 pounds.
70 pounds, little girl. So here's the thing. She's a good meditator.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, she can sit down, she can lie down, she can stretch out, she can just be right here, right?
Yeah.
She doze a little, but she's right here. You just, you know, you make a sound, and she's right there, right?
Yeah.
So she's a wonderful role model and meditation guide. So in the beginning, you're clearly drawn to hermitness, right? If you want to be on 130 acres out by yourself somewhere, right? And so don't make it about the formal posture in the beginning. Just sit down and turn the attention inward and be with the breath and watch what happens. Just notice. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that for a few minutes, as many times out of the day as you choose. And then if you want to practice sitting in meditation, then do that, but read while you're doing that, or you know, whatever it is. Don't make it something that ego can come after and attempt to ruin for you. Keep it pleasurable. All it is time for you to be quiet with yourself and to watch, to notice, to pay attention to what goes on.
Okay. I do like sitting kind of like by a tree or something.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's it. So did the Buddha, by the way. And it worked really well for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it a lot easier than sitting on the pillow.
Yeah, that's fine. Absolutely fine. At some point, you'll want to. Because the reason that we sit like that is that it's the most grounded place. Now, I mean, you can sit like that under a tree. Again, that's what the Buddha did. The sitting in that posture is very grounding, and it's very supportive of the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So as your practice deepens, you'll become attracted to it, and your relationship with the voices will have changed to the point that you know, what they have to say about it is not going to be of particular interest to you.
Mm-hmm. May I ask another question about sitting?
Yeah.
When I was really attempting to sit, I felt my back, my lower back, and my upper back neck area.
Mm-hmm.
It was just heating up, almost like burning.
Yes.
And I mean, I had to give up. I was like, I can't. And so was that physical, or is that the voices?
Well, as you practice paying close attention,
you'll begin to see what's going on. So, for instance, when I'm sitting, attention is constantly monitoring what's going on with my body. It's not actually a process of thinking, although it can sound like it, but it's just a scanning. It's expanded awareness that allows you to know what's going on with your body all the time. And that's not just in sitting, that's all the time. So that you always know where there's tension in your body or tightness or, you know, just where you are in space, right? And so as you get more attuned to that, then you'll have an intuitive sense of what goes on. And you'll be able to make little tiny micro adjustments. You may alter your sitting posture. You may alter your sitting posture. You know, you may want to sit on a chair for a while and just see what happens to your low back, your upper back, your neck. It's a process. You know, if you took up a sport, whatever it was, if it was new, you would feel new places in your body as you got used to doing it.
Right.
So it's the same thing. The only thing is, say it again?
And I wouldn't know how to do it right from the beginning.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The difference is, if you decided to, you know, to take up cycling and you never had cycled before, you would be so involved in what you were doing that you probably wouldn't be aware of what was happening with your body until afterwards. And then it's like, oh, my shoulders really hurt. Oh, well, it's, you know, leaning over those handlebars, all that,
yeah.
Right? But while you're doing it, you're so caught. But when you're sitting, you're not caught up with anything. So we're really a target for ego to come after us. And it will, but you just notice it. Just notice it.
Yeah.
Don't make it a contest. Make it easy. Make it pleasurable. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. It's your quality time with you.
When I'm walking, just, you know, trails, I always feel like I'm meditating. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you'll notice. And what you can practice, of course, is expanded awareness. You know, you're aware of the breath, you're aware of your feet, you're aware of your knees, you're aware of what your arms are doing, you're aware of what you're seeing, what you're hearing, you're aware of what you're feeling.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I think we're
getting close
to time, so I better let you go, sir.
Thank you very much. Stay in touch, huh? Great talking with you again.
All right. Great talking with you. Take care.
Have a good day.
Say hello to Nina for me.
I will. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Robert.
Thanks for joining us, Robert. And Sherry, I especially like that focus on the way I think about it sometimes is keeping things in the want-to list rather than the should list.
Yeah,
and,
good point.
It's just essential.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, and I think we have just a minute for you to say a little bit more about that. So you start out and you want to meditate, right? And
right. Yes, and then pretty soon the voices get a hold of it, and there's standard, and it's got to be 30 minutes formal every day, and then pretty soon it's two times formal every day, and then very quickly it's no fun. So,
I
heard you say it's great to meditate every day, and what happens if I miss a day, if I can't meditate on a certain day? Does it destroy me emotionally, or is it, wow, I missed that, and I really look forward to getting back to that as soon as I can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. Yeah, and, you know, we can always, as Robert was indicating, you know, you're out for a walk, you're waiting for an appointment, or you're driving in the car, or whatever it is, we can practice being present. And that really is what meditation is. It's just that meditation is the most subtle way to practice noticing and being present, because there's no movement. You know, the only thing moving is the head, which makes it easy for us to see what's going on there. But in terms of practicing being with the breath and in the body and expanding the awareness, we can do that anytime, all the time, everywhere. Yeah.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Fabulous, Michael. Thank you so much. Are we at time? I think we are, aren't we? Yeah.
We are at time, and it's great to be
all
back.
Right.
And thank you.
It is.
And
lovely.
Thank everyone. And go
thank
happy.
Thank you. Thank you. Go happy.
All right. Good night.
Bye.